The replacement for the Defense Department's government-operated cloud service is getting more time and a bigger budget. To tell us more about MilCloud 2.0, Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. Meredith, this is something that has been brewing for a long time as the DISA role, the Defense Information Systems Agency role in cloud, keeps evolving. What about the expansion?
Yes, so back in February, DISA released a request for proposals for MilCloud 2.0, and that window for RFPs closes later this month on August 22nd. I spoke with John Hale, the chief of DISA's cloud portfolio, about some updates to the contract during the FCW Cloud Summit.
So based on industry feedback, we went back and we expanded the RFP. The base period changed, so it was originally a one-year base period with multiple one-year awards. We changed it to a three-year base period with some follow-on awards. And then the ceiling of the vehicle actually changed. It was originally the ceiling was originally at $92 million, and it's now at $498 million.
So the reason for that expansion in the ceiling was so mission partners, commercial cloud providers, could recoup their initial investment, given that contract period was extended. Hale said because of department directives like the data center consolidation, he expects more MilCloud use than originally anticipated, hence the higher ceiling and longer contract period. And for those who don't know about DoD's approach to the cloud, here's Hale again.
So the idea is that we're going to bring a commercial cloud provider on-premise. We're going to deliver them ping, pad, and power, and they're going to run their cloud services from our concrete and deliver services to the rest of the department. The benefit is they're inside the walls, they're on our concrete, and from a data ownership perspective, one of the things you've heard talked about multiple times this morning, that data is on our concrete, okay, so on our pad. And for certain workloads, that's important. There are certain workloads that can be virtualized, certain systems that can be virtualized that we can run in a cloud environment, but due to the sensitive nature of the data, we don't necessarily feel comfortable yet with them running in an off-premise environment. Okay? A classic example that I use for that is nuclear command and control.
Nuclear codes are the kind of thing DoD wants to keep pretty secure, which is why the cloud isn't the savior for everything, but it is the direction the DoD and the rest of government is going.
So this will be COCO then, contractor owned and contractor operated, although we should correct him slightly. It won't be on DISA's concrete because chances are they have raised flooring in the data centers where this will be located, so it'll be on their tile.
Just a little bit above,
their perforated tile, but probably not on their concrete. All right, Meredith, what are the next steps here?
Well, like I said, the RFP closes August 22nd. Hale said existing MilCloud 1.0 users can stay where they are, but they do have the option of migrating over. After a year or two of MilCloud 2.0, however, all those users will be transitioned to the newer service. Hale said the cost savings will likely drive more users to the 2.0 version anyway. The plan is to have initial operating capability available next March or April. Here's Hale again.
So MilCloud 2.0 is focused on infrastructure as a service. It will be infrastructure as a service. There are some optional CLINs in there that if a commercial provider wants to offer software as a service as an option, that's something that they can do. But the primary purpose for MilCloud 1.0 is infrastructure as a service. And it is on-prem infrastructure as a service, right? So the idea is that, the easiest way to say it is what our desire is to take a commercial cloud provider, buy them as a black box, and put them in our facility and have them run their capabilities for the department. That's really what we're looking for. And so if they bring other capabilities with them, that's fine. That's not part of the spec. I'm not going to ask them to do that as part of the contract, but there are optional CLINs that they can do that.
All right, so that's what Mr. Hale says about the upcoming MilCloud 2, Meredith. We are speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And let's switch gears here for a moment to those people in the throughout the government, not just DoD, that are traveling. They get a little bit more money to be on the road in some degree of federal comfort coming up.
Yes, we're not talking about the trips and fun stuff for federal employees. This is work travel per diem rates.
Right.
GSA released the fiscal 2017 per diem travel rates, and feds will get an average of $142. That's $91 for lodging and about $51 for food and other expenses, which is a whopping $2 increase over 2016. These rates take effect October 1st. And this is for the 48 contiguous states. The State Department handles rates for foreign travel, and DoD handles rates for Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, and Guam. And the rates are based on hotel lodging industry, their average daily rate data. GSA also awarded 8 contracts to U.S. Airlines through its City Pair programs, which should save about $2.4 billion.
So that's one contract to each of 8 carriers?
Yes. And GSA is also forming a working group for fiscal 2018 that's going to look at these per diem rates and boundary lines for the areas that where you're working or traveling to for about 350 areas to determine whether they need redrawing.
It's hard to see how they come up with $91 average for lodging.
Right.
I guess... Well, first of all, there are differentials depending on where you are. If you have business in Manhattan,
yes,
or the middle of San Jose or something like that, you're going to pay more than $91.
Yeah, big cities.
And the money will be there. But I guess if you factor in federal rates and you're somewhere, in the outskirts of Cincinnati, well, maybe you can stay at a... somewhere for $91.
Yeah, $91, depending on where you are, is either going to go real far or it's going to get you, like a hot dog and a cup of coffee.
Yeah, the food for $51, if you want to, you can eat easily. You can eat well in New York City for $51 a day.
You
cannot stay anywhere nice for $91
no.
a day.
No.
Well, if you want your own room and you want a bathroom in the room. All right, so that's coming up, but that's for 2017.
Yes, that's for 2017. Those rates will take effect October 1st.
All right, well, happy travels, and thank you, Meredith Summers, for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can share this interview with a colleague, also read Meredith's coverage. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.